All right, let's open our Bibles tonight, and we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, and let's just go ahead and turn there and let the Word speak to us and again minister to us, and then we'll get into what the Lord's laid upon our hearts tonight to hear of Him. But in 1 Samuel 16, we're picking this up right after God has called Samuel to go and anoint David, that little runt of the litter. And he says, this is my choice. This is, he's going to lead Israel. The anointing has left Saul, and you're going to go anoint this boy king because he's my choice. And I thank the Lord, and it's so sweetly, I always love that too, when Samuel goes to anoint David, and just David's just a little guy. He says, "Arise and anoint him." You talk about God's elect. Just amazing how the Lord lets us know the encouragement of that anointing that's upon our lives. Know how He loves you. Know the honor and thanksgiving and praise that He has for those that are the praise and the glory of His grace. So we thank Him for this. Amen. All right, let's get reading from 14, that's 16:14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, "Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubles thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player of a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he will play with his hand, and thou shalt be well." And Saul said unto his servants, "Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me." Then answered one of the servants and said, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and plain, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and a prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." Boy, what a testimony. And, you know, we haven't even gotten to when David's going to face Goliath. You know, you have to think of these things. What this precious brother saw in David even at that time. He, mighty man of war. See, we didn't think of that about David. But see, the Lord encouraged in this testimony of this precious life, this man after God's own heart that was in David. It's just so beautiful, this encouragement. And then God also has no coincidence, does he? There's the man that was just anointed to be king that's going to replace Saul. And who is Saul calling for? And it wasn't Saul, but who are they going to call for Saul? It was going to be David. Amen. Amazing how the Lord does these things. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, "Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep." And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him. Now listen to this. And he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Isn't that something? I and I want you to see this. I mean, Saul had this passion, this love, for David. And also, this is so wonderful, David submits to Saul even though David is the king. Ever think of that? Isn't that amazing? Teaches us, by the grace of God, may we again submit one to another. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." So he loved him. He found favor in his sight. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Okay. Now, next chapter we have the defiance of Goliath to Israel, and we know that story, how sweetly David is called and encouraged of the Lord, and he runs into that uncircumcised Philistine, and he hits him with one of them five stones and takes his head, and what a praise and rejoicing that is. So that transpires, but I want you to go over to chapter 18 now, and we'll begin to read from verse 1. It's chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, and the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul, Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. So again, this love just continues in such greatness and adoration, and this relationship with Saul and David and Jonathan. I mean, you know, this is a cozy, beautiful, loving relationship here. And then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, gave it to David and his garments, even his sword and his bow and to the girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Uh-oh. And Saul was very wroth. So all of that happy singing just ended, didn't it? Mm-hmm. And the saying displeased him because it was about Saul, wasn't it? Always was. It wasn't about God. They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Oh, yes, God had already given it to him, but he didn't know. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. And he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as in other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hands. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David in even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And David was afraid, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Amazing, again, how that relationship changed. And that's what I mentioned today. The Lord put on my heart in reading this as it can be encouraged in our lives. Relationships gone bad. When relationships go bad. Now, sometimes in that, God sweetly and divinely will depart you asunder, and you're away from it. And I have to tell you, I really like that. I like when God takes me away from a bad relationship, and it's over. But then, it's those relationships that go bad where God, he won't let you out of it. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that's the treasure. It really is a treasure like no other to your life when God will still keep you in it for the completing of his purpose. Now, the Lord is so super faithful to us. And I'm speaking here truly when we have relationships with Christians. And things go awry sometimes. And we'll talk about exactly what the Lord is mining here tonight in a moment. But he's faithful to use one another for the other to perfect the love of God in us. I'm beginning to see more and more, as Brother Hill would talk about, the diamonds cutting diamonds. And in this case, I can see it very clearly, and I see him doing it in this meeting. But brothers and sisters, it's so important, it's so vital for perfect love to develop in us, for perfect love to grow in us, for perfect love to be exercised, that we are the full overcomer for him and be proven evident in us for us truly to rule and to reign together with him. It's a requirement. It's going to be that way. And I've seen him give this opportunity in my life. I've seen him give it to, and I know he's given it to everyone here in your life as well too. But I've seen him giving us this opportunity when we have friendships that go awry, when we have family fallouts. And I'll tell you, even divorce, God so magnificently and mercifully, he uses it to bring forth his best, as the Word of God says, beauty for ashes. And that's the truth. And I'm thankful to the Lord for the testimony of his grace in this meeting, especially in that last one that the Lord put upon my heart in divorce. You know, God forbid that would ever happen to a marriage that's in place right now. And you fight for that marriage. You fight, by the grace of God, the good fight of faith to stay in it. But in those times when marriages end, I'm so thankful that the love of God doesn't end. The love of God pours forth. The love of God goes on. And I'm grateful to the Lord that even in those relationships that have, in a sense, ended in that regard, that there's many ones that were once married that still both sides still come to the meeting and rejoice. And not only rejoice, but they love one another. But I thought how many times I thought somebody was out of my life, but yet God saw fit for it to be the most amazing time of the working of His grace and His love in me and through me. And see, brothers and sisters, this is far more than a Jonah who doesn't want to go to Nineveh, because this is downright personal. When you really love somebody, when you have a relationship with somebody, this is something that's very, very personal. When you have a falling out with someone that you love, someone that maybe has done you great harm or been very evil, and sometimes it's even vice versa, but God sees fit that there's going to be that continuing trial. And without that continuing trial, there would never be the overcomer that would come forth. See, the Lord, He's very sweet to have things sometimes stick with us. He calls them thorns. Amen? Oh, yeah. And He's going to use that if we're going to win Him as His bridegroom. And I'll tell you what, don't despair in these tumultuous times, but rejoice because of the opportunity that He's given to be like Him. Amen? See, you know, I appreciate how the Word of God says that, you know, we don't want to bring the suffering upon us. We don't want to do wrong things to bring the suffering upon us. God says to yield and to, again, walk with Him, and those things won't occur. But you know what? He also tells us very clearly, even when we believe not, He abides faithful. Amen. And then He gives us Romans 8:28. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen. To them who are the called according to His purpose. And I thank Jesus for that encouragement, because you know what? We need it. We need it if we're really going to surrender and submit to Him and be sincere before Him and understand that there's only one way that we walk with God, and that is by the grace of God. There's only one way that we desire anything of the Lord or go on. There's only one reason you're here tonight in this pew. It's not because of your discipline. It's not because of your goodness. It's because of the grace of God that's with you. Amen? I mean, and you thank Him for that, and you praise Him, because you would not be here if it wasn't for His mercy. I would not be here preaching, praise God, His truth in love, if it wasn't for the grace of God that's with me. So we thank Him for this, and we rejoice, brothers and sisters. And, you know, when He gives us, again, the enlightenment of understanding that everything has such great purpose, when, again, as I said earlier, when His thoughts to us are more than the sand, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, He's got opportunity for us in every breath, every single thing that we go through. See, and we've got to step back and say, is it about my feelings or is it about winning eternity's best? But God's always going to put us in that place that, you know what, we're going to have to decide, aren't we? Every day. Because you get out of bed, or if you're getting out of bed, you know, I don't feel good. That's usually the first thing that kind of hits our minds. Whoa, that didn't feel good. And then you get to work and say, oh, well, man, that person didn't treat me right. God help us to turn it real quick back to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I glory in my infirmities. Amen? See, it's easy to glory in the sweet spot. But God's going to show you that's all He's got is a sweet spot, but it's always going to be made perfect in my weakness. Amen. Your weakness. And that's how God does these things. But he especially does this in these relationships. See, this is even more than doing good to them that despitefully use you. I get people, in the trip, how many times I heard, you know, the good Christians, oh, we're going out to serve this and we're going out to do that. And, you know, we're taking these people in our home and we're doing all this. And that's all good. I'm thankful that people care for one another and all of those different things. But let me tell you something. When you love with the perfect love of God to the extent, praise the Lord, that you can love someone who has hurt you so bad beyond that circumstance, you're growing in grace and in knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thank God, you, because of the grace of God so immensely with you, you desire for that life to win Christ even beyond your hurt or your bitterness. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's essential if we're going to win him. Amen? It's true. He said every root of bitterness. And see, well, I don't want to jump ahead, but I thank God for you all because this is a kind of sermon that can make a lot of people uncomfortable. It's a lot of times why people don't come on Sunday nights. They know that Jesus is going to mine a little bit deeper on a Sunday night, isn't he? But, you know, sometimes I remember sitting here, wow, I really liked that sermon on Sunday morning, but now it got to meddling, huh? But see, this is vital, this mining in our life. The question is, brothers and sisters, is the love of God perfected in us? Is the love of God really completed in us? Remember, he is going to marry the one that is like him. Amen? And I thank the Lord that it's going to be in that fullness, in that stature, in that measure. It's going to be one that loves as he loves. Praise God. It's going to be that wife that adds to the usefulness of the husband. You know what that is, don't you? That's his vessel. That's what a vessel is. A vessel in the Word of God adds to the usefulness of the husband. Well, what is Jesus Christ about? He's about you having God's best, isn't he? Well, if that wife is really adding to the usefulness of the husband, what's she going to be about? The same thing as her husband. Adding again, praise God, to the usefulness of that husband. That I would add, edify, spiritual encouragement. That my life would want to encourage you for God's best. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now, it's easy to do that with people we love. It's easy to do that with people that, my goodness, that haven't offended me. Easy to do that with people that haven't really done me wrong. Easy to do that with people that were so close with me, but yet now we've parted. Amen? Is that love of God perfected? Do we love as he loves? Or am I neglecting the perfect love of God to be readied in me? Amen? God help us. We need to lay hold of this because we're running out of time. Now, I'm really beginning to know something here as God has brought this to my heart. Forgiveness is not an isolated thing in our life. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to somebody, and it is sweet when somebody says, well, I've got to forgive this person. I've got to forgive. And a lot of times it's a sibling. A lot of times it's a parent that didn't do right when somebody was growing up or different things of that nature. But I've got to forgive them is some type of an isolated event. And I'm telling you, the Word of God and the encouragement of the Lord, it's his continuing love in us that does it all. You're never going to find true forgiveness if it doesn't root itself in the love of God. You're never going to forgive anybody until you first love with his love. When you love someone with the love of Christ, forgiveness is an after effect of that love. And it's the truth. See, people get so fixed in, I've got to forgive, I've got to forgive. No, you need to love. Amen? Now, how many have children here? Pretty much everybody got a child here, huh? Amen? Have you had to really work to forgive your child? Nope. And who is, in a lot of ways, has hurt you the worst in a lot of things? Not intentionally, but because they're just going their own way. Breaks your heart like nothing else. But did you have to get there and say, oh, I just got to forgive him. I got to forgive him. You didn't even think about forgiveness, did you? wasn't even part of the equation at all. And why? Because you love. But yet that person that you don't love, because maybe they really hurt you, did you wrong, that didn't happen to be your child, you can't forgive them because you're just stuck on trying to forgive them instead of the perfect love of God working in you to love them. Amen? Yeah, praise the Lord. See how simple it is in Christ. You say, well, I can't get to that. Sure you can't. But he already did. And I'm so thankful that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he strengthens me in his word. See, going over to Ephesians chapter 4. This is very sweet here, as the Lord tells us in verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now you would think, well, we'll just put a period there, and that's really good for me to know. But see, we just got a colon, so we're going on. So it's not just let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So the Lord's really tying this in, and he's making this very evident. This, a lot of this bitterness and wrath and anger and all this evil speaking and the kindness that I don't have and the tenderness I don't have is because I haven't forgiven. Because there's something that rubbed me wrong. There's something that's bothering me. There's something that I cannot get over because I was right and that person was wrong. But it doesn't end at forgiving. It says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's not about, again, you. It's about Christ in you that's doing this work. I praise God, brothers and sisters, that we do forgive one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Think about how he forgave. Love. Love. It was just love as how Christ forgave. It was the joy, it was the love that was set before him that he endured the cross. It wasn't that he was just so set in a sense, I'm just going to forgive their sin. His love had already motivated everything for that. The forgiveness was just part of the mighty plan of God because God so loved the world. See, God so loved that he gave his son, and by giving his son all of that forgiveness is done. All the sin of all man was taken care of upon his death on the cross because God so loved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amazing how God ties this morning into this evening. And again, he just continues to connect all these things of what he wants in our lives. Forgiveness, again, was just part of the mighty plan of God because he loved. He doesn't want us necessarily just to praise him for his forgiveness. He wants us to praise him for his love, his grace, and his mercy. Oftentimes I hear so many times people say, oh, you need to repent, you need to repent. No, you need to praise him for his love, his grace, and his mercy. I'm already forgiven. I am already forgiven. The fellowship that I'm going to have with him is praising him for his love, his grace, and his mercy. And again, it goes back that we get stuck on something that's already finished. We get stuck on something that's already done. I don't sin willfully that grace may abound. I get that. I know that by the grace of God. But I do know this. While I'm in this human flesh, I will fail. But I'm not going to focus and magnify on my failure, nor yours by the grace of God. I'm going to praise him for my life and for your life, for his love, his grace, and his mercy. Amen? But see, this isn't just for my select four and no more. If I truly love as Christ loves, it's for everybody. And even more passionately, maybe even for those that have done me the worst. I think about Judas. Wasn't that Jesus didn't know, because he knows. but yet how his heart ached, how he pled with Judas to the very end. He gave him that bread to eat. He gave him that to drink. He did everything and continued in it to the very moment that Judas denied it all and entered into that darkness. That's love. That is love. And that is the Lord that lives in us. Because you see, brothers and sisters, because of his love, he was always the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. See, that love was always there. That love was always perfected and always readied and given to already forgive us for our sin in believing in the blood that would be shed. But getting back to what we read with David and Saul, even though we know the story, have you ever really thought about the benefit God wrought through David's trial with Saul? How the things that God developed and revealed and chastened in David, if you really read the psalm and really think about his relationship with Saul, and I'm talking about the relationship for almost 25 years, if you really go back and look at that, it was about 25 years from the time that he was anointed king to when Saul's life was taken. A lot of people think, oh, it was just a short time. I understand 25 years is a short time to some, but when somebody's after your life for 25 years, let me tell you something, that's a long time. But over half the psalm is attributed, I'm confident, to the friction in the relationship with Saul. All those things that David discovered about the faithfulness, the love of God, his compassion, how the Lord loves his righteous, and how the Lord always loved Saul. Always did. Yeah, the anointing was taken away, but yet the love never departed. I am thankful to God, as we know that even Saul would eventually take his own life, but yet God so sweetly ministered even to those that want to doubt the love of God that we somehow could separate ourselves from it. As Samuel said to Saul as he came and appeared to him, this day you and your sons will be with me. Amen. So we thank God that we know that he is forever faithful. But you see, God used Saul so mightily in David's life to grow more grace in David. And even Saul, if you think about his life, even though he never laid fully hold of it, the benefit that David was to his life. See, Saul witnessed the faithfulness of God to David. Saul witnessed and knew that David was God's anointed. Saul could not kill him. And yet David was so anointed that David would always do Saul good, which caused Saul to even fear David the more. Can you imagine that? Still continued to try to take his life, and every time that he would try to take it and God would show himself faithful, all it did was put more fear in Saul. Poor man. See, I don't want to go that way. I don't want to wish evil or to be ugly to God's anointed. I don't want to do that. David did not hold Saul's wicked heart against him, against Jonathan, Saul's son. David did not judge Jonathan by his dad. And I think about this relationship that had been so good and so strong for just a short time and how bad it went. But the glory that was built in David's life that could have never been gained without Saul's continuing presence in his life. God's not punishing you with this. He's building you treasure to trust him. He's causing you to love as he loves. He's giving you opportunity to have a heart that you want people to grow up fully in the Lord, and especially those that have hurt you. And God, help us to take encouragement from this tonight, that we would love one another with the very love of God and the very passion of God's best, wherewith we are loved by Jesus. I believe that would be his wife, would you not? That we would have that passion? Amen. I think about some of the brethren that I know. They want people to parade around that have done wrong and say, well, until you speak of your wrongdoing and plead for forgiveness before us, you can't fellowship with us. See, that's a sickness. That's an evil spirit. All we should want is for people to enter into the fellowship and to yearn for any brother or sister in Christ that maybe has been caused discord or different things of that nature, but you pray for them. And you continue to pray for you that that love of God doesn't depart, that there be that passion, that again, you would have the heart just like the father of the prodigal. You're at that door every day just waiting. Is he coming today? Is he coming today? Amen. But see, his wife will be nothing but like him. And the first quality of it all is his love. By the grace of God, let love love through us. Let love come in and drown out all the bitter memories. Let love come in and drown out all the things which are behind and walk in the newness of life, not just for you, but for all the family of God. Amen. See, God's given us such opportunity in this place over the years to love one another, hasn't he? Amen. We're growing up. We're tightly fit. We're compacted. This is rib portion company. There's not a lot of room in a rib. You get in that rib and it gets squishy. Things happen. Toes get stepped on. Elbows, you know, I move over here, I might poke you in the eye. Because we're so close together, amen? And when you're so close together, you know, you can start looking at one another because, wow. You know, somebody can have really pretty skin and all of that. And then you get to the microscope and, oh my goodness, what's on that thing? It's the truth. But when I'm tightly fit and compacted together with you, I best be looking up, shouldn't I? And we all looking up, and I'll tell you what, then we're all together lovely. Well, let love do it. And you know what? Our last thought here is often we are the biggest offenders getting people to remember things that we should not. Amen? And that's a hard thing. But it will always be that way when we look at the person. When God helps us to look at people as he looks upon them, he looks at the heart. And by the grace of God in a Christian, the one thing I can say is I know that Christ lives in them. There's a hope by the grace of God that you can have that things will turn. But see, when we get people to remember the things which we should not, it's all because we don't want to let them go. And tonight for these, anyone that's hearing this, and I'm listening to the Spirit tonight, in Jesus' name, God help me to quit raking in the muck, to wash my feet, increase in love, and press on. Amen? Really, pray about these things. We're not here to just tolerate one another. We're not here just to, again, say, well, look at me. I can sit in the same church building. If we're really going to win Christ, by the grace of God, we need to passionately love one another's soul. And that's it. And if we're not passionately loving a soul, and I'll tell you, you may have had a bitter time with somebody for years. For years. But wouldn't it be just grand if the love of God in you could begin to pray for, Lord, an opening? Because sometimes when we just go walking up and we feel so good in a feeling, that can provoke another thing too. But to pray, God, give me wisdom. I've been ugly for a long time. And I know this needs to stop. And I need to love. And only you can do it because I can't. And I want to love that soul to win God's best. And I'll tell you what, you'll love one another perfectly. Even in our homes, I've just been thinking about that. You know, when ever I've had any trouble with family, whether it be my spouse, my kids, anything of that nature, that's something that bothered me or hurt me, the Lord quickening my heart to love, to let the love of God love. Let the love of God love. And when the love of God loves, it changes me. It doesn't change them. It changes me to be the testimony. And God help it to come forth in my life. That I'm not trying to manipulate to get something out. It's just the love of God that's going to do it. It's a wonderful thing. And it is essential. It's going to be the evidence. It's going to be the proof. As the Father said, I'm searching for them that worship me in spirit and in truth. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. And Father, we thank you again in Jesus' name for encouraging our lives. Lord, we know this is only something you can do, but God, you've already given it to us and to perform it in us. And Lord, if there be any bitterness, any root of bitterness in anybody, any of us in this place tonight, Jesus, in your precious name, Lord, let us surrender and submit to you to deal with it now. Not to just again to ponder and consider this and wait for a more convenient time. By the grace of God, let it be tonight. And Lord, let us really understand from you again that the forgiveness, the mending, the repairing, all of these things, it's all done in your love. It's not done in any of my thinking or how I'm going to figure this out. It's just truly, simply done in the perfect, complete love of God. Lord, help us in Jesus' name to rely only upon your love and to count you faithful in this wonderful life that lives in us, that is full of that love of God. We know that, praise the Lord, that we're of God. We're born of God. That, Lord, you live in us, and praise God, Christ liveth in me. Lord, let us, by the grace of God, truly submit by faith to let that life live. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that precious love is right there to love one another with. And in Jesus' name, may we just take it and go. We love you, we thank you, and praise you. In your wonderful name, amen.